Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, this is Ryan and Bill here with Lead Defend Podcast. We have Jarrett Stevens here today. He is the pastor of Champion Forest Baptist Church down in South Texas. And so just an honor to be here with you. Jarrett, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Ryan, Bill, thanks for having me on, man. Excited to just have this conversation with you. And it's good being here in Arkansas. I'm in Little Rock at the time that we're recording this podcast here, and was at the Arkansas Baptist Convention. So I live in Houston now. I was 20 years in Dallas. I'll be 4 years in Houston in January. And before then, I was at the great Ouachita Baptist University. Yeah. So I'm an OBU grad and studied ministry there. Always wanted to preach and pastor since I was 17. I tell people that I wanted it. My dream was to play college football and coach high school football.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to do. Okay. And I was serving as, and I tell people I would have played college football if any coach would have asked me to play for him.
That's the kicker.
No coach asked me to play. But when I was 17, I was serving as president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and God had, you know, just I've always been involved in church. My parents,
you said you went to high school where?
I was in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Yeah, everybody's got to be from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in Louisiana, and I've always loved the church. I grew up Vacation Bible School, student camps. I got saved at a preteen camp. I was one of those kids. I never minded going to church. That's mm-hmm. where my friends were. I loved it. And my senior year, I just sensed the Lord doing something in my heart. I go to my student pastor. I said, "Man, I think God's calling me to step up in my leadership. Whatever you need me to do." And he did something really wise. He said, "Jared, we've got a fifth quarter coming up, you know, in small town America.
That's
you
right.
know, fifth quarter, four quarters football game. Fifth quarter was at the church.
Yep.
Had food, safe place, you know, for the kids to come hang out or whatever." He said, "We always did a Bible study, a devotion, if you will." And he said, "I want you to teach the Bible study Friday night." So I had a football game, you know, it's my senior year, and it was the first time that I'd ever studied God's word to teach it to somebody else. And I'm just telling you, in that moment, man, God turned my heart, and I knew. I said, "I'm not going to do any. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I'm not doing anything different. I got to preach God's word." And so I started looking at schools. You know, wanted a good, you know, good education. I wanted to take Bible. And so the Lord led me to Ouachita and had a great experience there. Then 20 years in Dallas working at a church. It's been great.
That's awesome. So it was really at a young age that you came to faith.
Yep.
And then even a young age that you experienced a call of God in your life. So how do you process through those decisions? You knew that God had called you to himself, and then you knew that God had called you to ministry. But then, school. Like, how did you decide, where am I going to go to school?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of young adults that's the big decision for their life.
Well, that's an important question, and let me tell you how I, Jarrett Stevens, had that question. I went to Louisiana College, which is kind of the Louisiana Ouachita, if you will.
Sure.
And at that time, I mean, this is mid-90s, right? They didn't have cable television in the dorm rooms.
Kicker.
So I was like, I'm not going there. You know, I'm not going to go to the lobby to watch ESPN. So then I tried East Texas Baptist University. But that was like 45 minutes from Shreveport-Bossier, where I grew up.
Yep.
So I could still get like radio stations from Shreveport-Bossier. And I was like, that's too close to home.
Yeah.
So then I went to Ouachita, fell in love with the campus, the trees, the beauty of it. Of course, talked to the professors, and that was really home for me. But in a more serious way, you know, I tell people who are trying to discern a call to ministry and what God wants them to do, you know, there ought to be three things that you listen to and filter things through. One is, you know, this is specific to ministry, but it doesn't have to be. Like, one, you need to listen to people who know you and love you. You know, if you say, "I'm thinking about majoring in this, I'm thinking about doing this," if the people that know you the most and love you the most are like, "No, don't see that," you know, that could be a red flag, right? Like, I would talk to my family, "I'm thinking about going in ministry," and my mom and dad were supportive. I could see that in you, Jarrett. You got that kind of, you know, my experience and leadership at high school, you know, it looked that way. A second was affirmation in God's word. So like, I would read God's word, and again, it would just be that, like, golly, I got to share this with somebody. I got to teach this to somebody. And so there was affirmation from God's word. And then third, doors open, right? Mm-hmm. And so for Ouachita, the doors open for me to go. And so that's kind of a grid that I tell people to funnel things through as they're asking those type of questions. What are the people that love you and know you the most say? Are you sensing affirmation in God's word and hearing from the Lord? And then third, you know, are doors opening? And typically when those are happening, you know, you shouldn't have to, at least in my experience, even in change changing jobs, you know, moving churches to a different city, whatever it may be. I've never had to push doors open. This might just be my testimony, but God has just been so faithful that He's just opened doors, and by faith, you know, He's by His grace, we've allowed to, you know, we've walked through those open doors, and that's what I
make
those decisions. Yeah,
that's a good. That's word. Great. So tell us a little bit now about the context. You talked about your past, but tell us what you're doing now.
Yeah. So when I left Wichita, I served 20 years at a great church in Dallas, Prestonwood Church, and I was started as an intern. Then I did college and young singles, and then I was the teaching pastor for 10 years. So I was there for 20 plus years as on staff there, and just loved it. I did my doctoral dissertation on an intern program, so I know the value of a residency, and you know that's something important for your audience that's listening to us today. You know, you can go to you can get your education at school, but man, you need the practical know-hows. And so that's anytime you can get an internship or a residency somewhere, that's where I learned how to do local church. It was in a church, so I was getting my seminary education on one hand, and then learning to do church on another. So I just loved that intern program, did my doctoral dissertation on intern program, again, served there 10 years as a teaching pastor, great church, but I always knew I wanted a senior pastor since I was 17. I did one summer as a student pastor, and I was like, I don't want to do student pastor, you know, it took me one summer, Bill, to come to that conclusion. So I always knew I wanted a senior pastor, but I didn't get the opportunity until I was 42. Wow. Now, I had opportunities, but I just, you know, again, God just, you know, kept me, He had me where He had. I was waiting on Him. And so Houston, great church, Champion Forest, called me and about 4 years ago, it'll be 4 years ago in January. And I was just so grateful. You know, I knew God was stirring something in my heart. This door opened, and it was just I couldn't pass it up. I mean, you're talking about a church in a major city in North America, you know, fourth largest city in North America, extremely diverse. Our church looks like heaven. You know, it's black, brown, white, young, old. It's extremely diverse. And they're big on missions and evangelism, which is my heart. And so it's really been hand in glove. And I'm just so grateful for, you know, the church God has given me, my family. I'm married. I've got a wife of 23 years this year. I've got four daughters as well. So I moved them, and they all handled the transition well. So loving Houston. It's home now. You know, I'm a Houston Texans fan. I'm an Astros fan. I'm a Rockets fan. I'm all in. And so I'm all in on Houston. So that's home.
That's great.
Great, man. Well, one of the things that I know that you're known for is leadership. You gave a really great talk earlier today on self-leadership. So would you spend a few minutes talking through that? Because some of our folks who listen will be folks who are called to ministry, but some are folks who are just going to be really great volunteers. But regardless, you know as well as I do, whether somebody's called to what we would call full-time vocational ministry, or if they're just a really great volunteer or even a leader in their family, they need to be sure that they are self-led well.
Yeah, you know, that self-leadership is a title that can be kind of deceiving, right? Because the last thing you really need is self-leading, you know, if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I have seen, and I've been doing this, God's, you know, put me around a lot of people and been doing it for a number of years, but I've seen in people who have been living for the Lord and being faithful to the Lord over the long haul and still have joy and still get up every day with a sense of adventure, living life to the fullest, trusting the Lord, walking with Him. Their kids love them. You know, they have a great marriage, whatever. There's been some things in their life, just some common denominators, if you will, that I've seen. And so when I talked to the young leader group that you mentioned today is, you know, if you can take care of these three areas of your life, I just think you've got a much better chance at succeeding. And whatever you choose to do. And success is not about, you know, the number of people you influence or about who knows your name or, you know, any of those things, the position you have or the title you have. Success is about just being faithful to the Lord. And again, those who know you the most respect you, those who know you the best respect you the most. That's success. And so these three areas, I would just, you know, I'm going to be a good Baptist preacher here and alliterate them with the P's. You know, the first one is your prayer life. You know, you can't do anything. This is John 15, abide, abide, abide. Remain. And I just think there's power in sitting before the Lord and growing your prayer life. You know, my professor in seminary, named Elmer Towns, 90 plus years old, walked with the Lord a long time. He gave me the definition of prayer. That said, prayer is relationship. You know, it is the daily walk with the Lord. And Paul said, pray without ceasing. Jesus modeled this. Went to a desolate mountain and prayed. And I just believe that, you know, we miss out on a lot. And we don't hear with our spiritual ears what we could be hearing, because we're not in tune with God, because we're not men and women of prayer. And so I just really want to encourage those listening that if you really want to finish strong, finish faithful, finish with a sense of adventure in your life because you're following the Lord wholeheartedly, it's not going to happen apart from a strong prayer life. And so, you know, what Satan wants to do more than anything is distract you. And the young demographic, man, we've got so many distractions. That phone is always in our pocket. We're constantly, you know, getting the notifications. There's always noise. And distraction creates distance. And Jesus knew this. And that's why, you know, he told Martha. Martha was serving in the kitchen in Luke chapter 10. And she was upset. You know, Mary wouldn't help. Helping her out, and he said, "Martha, Martha, man, you're wrestling with many things, but only one thing's necessary. Mary's chosen what's better." And what was she doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. And so if we're going to lead well ourselves, it starts with making sure we're spending time alone with the Lord. We will never rise higher than our own personal walk with the Lord. So I would say one is prayer.
You know, Jerry, you say that, and just to interject, I hear sometimes a lot of folks are growing frustrated. They're like, "Man, I'm just not growing. I'm not growing in my relationship with the Lord. I'm not growing at this church." And they think changing churches or small groups or something is going to fix that. Yeah. But I've had to remind myself, my spiritual growth is more my responsibility than it is anybody else's.
Yeah.
And so I'm the only one that can prioritize prayer in my own life.
That's right. You know, Proverbs, says, "Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life." And you're the only one that can guard your heart. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. You're responsible for weeding out your own heart from those things in the flesh, making sure that you're nourishing it with the things of the Spirit. And so I would just encourage anybody that's saying, "What does that even look like, a prayer life?" You know, I would just get you a notebook. It's not rocket science. Get an open Bible. You know, for me, I start with a proverb of the day. There's 31 proverbs, so typically you can do one proverb a day, and I just read it to take it in. I do two or three psalms, depending on the size of the psalm. I do one Old Testament chapter, one New Testament chapter. I read it. I take notes. I'm not studying it in depth, like with commentaries or anything. This is just my time alone with the Lord, and where something bounces off the page and into my heart, I read it. I pray those verses in. I just believe when the Spirit of God is in you and the Word of God is open before you, there's no coincidences. So if I'm reading my time alone with the Lord and a name comes to mind, maybe that's a verse that person needs. And so my prayer life becomes a point of action. I either call them or I text them, "Hey, I was reading this verse. I thought about you. I prayed for you." Yeah. And you write those things down, and it just becomes interactive. And, you know, I tell people, if you'll give God, you know, just start by giving him 15 minutes a day. If you'll start by giving him 15 minutes a day, what I found is God will take 20. Yeah. And, you know, not pretty soon you'll be giving him 20, he'll take 25. And so not even about length of time. It's about relationship. Prayer is relationship. Mm-hmm. So for the person thinking about the disciplines, think relationship, relationship, relationship. Yep. So
that's good.
Prayer life, if you're going to lead. Secondly, I would just say is your purity. Mm. You know, I'll talk to the men for a second. Where we get knocked out of the game specifically, where I've seen it, is when we're being impure. In other words, when who we are practically is not lining up with who we are positionally. Hmm. There's great shame in that, right? Yeah. We know positionally, we've trusted in Christ. He has cleansed us. You know, we are made new and our identity is in him. We are camouflaged, Colossians chapter 3, in Christ. And that doesn't change. We stand in Christ, right? In his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. But practically speaking, we've got to live that holiness out. You know, the command is you be holy for I am holy. So we're positionally holy, and that's never going to change. Past, present, and future, we are positionally holy in Christ regardless of what we do or don't do. But when our decisions, when what we do lines up with who we are, I found that there's great power in that. Likewise, when it doesn't, there's great shame. There's great feelings of condemnation because that's who the Satan is. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so we insulate ourselves. We don't think we're worthy of anything. We can't lead. And it's not just men. It's women as well. And so I just, you know, it is a motto for my life: with purity, there's power. And I just believe that if we can lead ourselves in this way, and you can't lead yourself in this way. You've got to be surrendered to the Spirit, right? You know, Galatians 6, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap life and peace. Mm-hmm. So you got to have the Spirit. You got to sow things into the Spirit. You got to starve the flesh, feed the Spirit. And as you do this, I've just found, again, that there's a great power in your life. There's an integrity that you can speak with. There's a faithfulness. People who are living out who they are, man, there's a freedom in their worship. You see them with hands lifted, and there's just a power in their life. And so I really encourage those listening. You can't behavior modification yourself to purity, right? Like somebody listening could be like, oh, that's I want to do better, and they're going to grit their teeth. But they end up frustrated and burnt out because what you really have to do is you have to live a surrendered life, totally giving yourself to the Spirit. And it's not easy. Because we're living in Babylon, man. We're talking to a young audience here. I just got through preaching a message series on Daniel. And, man, they were saturated in Babylon. And Babylon stood for rampant hedonism and idolatry and pleasure of self and all of these things. And it's really hard. And, I mean, I empathize because I'm in the game with our audience and with you trying to live a life that is above reproach. But you can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I think it's important for people to know purity is not just legalistic stuff. Purity is obedience. Yeah. Like, we're just saying, Lord, we really want to honor you and everything that we are.
Yeah, and it's not legalistic. It's wisdom, too, right? Some people go, you know, I can watch this because, you know, it's not a sin if I don't. I don't want to be legalistic. Well, you can, but, you know, Jesus said the eye is the lamp of the body. Yeah. And if your eye is darkness, your whole body's going to be full of darkness. Mm. So, you know, it's wisdom to say, you know what, I could watch that, but, man, what am I putting in my mind? Because if I watch it with my eyes, it's coming in my mind. And what I found is what happens in the mind plays out in time. Yep. Wow. And so as leaders, you better put on the full armor of God. It starts with the helmet of salvation. The Bible says so much about the mind. Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 1 Peter, prepare your minds for action. I mean, there's so much about the mind, but how does something get in the mind? Through our eyes. And so we've got to be careful. And that's, again, to your point, it's obedience. It's not legalism. It's wisdom.
What happens in the mind plays out through time. That's a powerful statement.
Yeah, it's true, too.
So you've given us two P's. What's that third?
Yeah, the third one would just be preparation, you know, for y'all, you listening. You know, you're in a place where you are preparing yourself for whatever God has for you in the future. And so I would just say however you're preparing yourself, God deserves your best, and so give him your best. You know, whether it's going to school, don't just get by. I was that kind of student, you know, just get by. And I look back with great regret that I didn't give God my best. You know, if you're going to be in, you know, if you're in college, you know, and you're in a communications class, be the best in that class. Or if you're in biology, be the best that you can be. Give God your best and prepare to do whatever it is God has called you to do. Hmm. Get in those residencies, try those jobs, interviews, whatever. You make sure that you prepare yourself to say, God, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to be used by you in a great way. And then I'm going to trust you with where you take that and what you do with my life. You know, like, I mean, this morning, guys, I'm not kidding you, I was in my time alone with the Lord, and that was one of my prayers, is God, I want to be used in a great way. But I want to make sure, God, that I'm used in a great way for your glory, not for mine. And at the end of the day, I just want to be, I want to follow you well. I want to lead to the best of my ability, but, you know, you take it. And if it's great in your eyes and nobody else's, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. That's good.
So you mentioned residencies and internships. It's one of the things we talk about with college students, especially make the most of those summer months that they have. If they have the opportunity, maybe even to take a gap year, that's a great time to do that. Or even maybe coming straight out of college, in between college and seminary, or sometime in there finding a place to do that. You guys, where you serve, have a really cool opportunity that you make available to students as far as residencies go. Yeah. Can you take a minute and tell me about that?
Yeah, I will. I'll start with the summer internship. So if you're listening to this and you're in an undergrad program, you know, specifically if it's related to ministry, most schools will give you credit for having a summer internship. And so we offer a summer internship for college kids. They can come in and they can serve in our student ministry. They can serve in our children's ministry, serve in our missions ministry, serve in our worship ministry, serve in our preaching ministry. Whatever you want to do, we tailor it to what you want to do. And so we pay you, not a lot, but we do pay you. If you're interested in that, just championforce.org. And I think it's /internships, but you can just kind of search our page and find it. That's the summer internship, and that's for undergrads. And that's kind of our feeder system. We kind of treat the summer internship like single A ball, if you will, or double A ball. Single A ball is called the ministry. Juniors and seniors in high school, we really want to work with them. Double A ball would be the summer internships where we get you involved in our system. Triple A is our residency program. We have a year-long residency program. You have to be working on your master's. You have to be in seminary. And it's just like the summer intern, except it's a full-time position. We pay you a lot more. We put you in housing. We give you free housing on the campus of the Lanier Theological Library, which is unbelievable. It looks like it's Oxford, you know, dropped in Houston, Texas, and you live there in community with other residents, and it's a beautiful facility, and you have access to the library. It's the world's largest personal theological library.
Wow.
So you can do your work. You work full-time with us. That's a year long. We can sign you up for another year, or we can move you up in our organization or send you out to a like-minded church. And so that's the residency program, and you can learn about that as well on our website, championforce.org.
That's a phenomenal resource.
It really
is.
I love the heart behind that. Yeah, we want to raise leaders up. We want to develop them. Again, I'm a product of an intern program. I would not be who I am if a local church wouldn't have come alongside me, believed in me, invested in me, and we want to do the same.
Yeah, that's huge.
Incredible. Very good. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us today. We appreciate you being a part of that. Anything else you want to share on our
Bill,
way out?
Great to be with you and Ryan. Thank you for what you're doing. Stay on mission. I love how y'all are challenging a younger generation to lead and to defend their faith. And so keep up the great kingdom work.
Well, it's been Ryan and Bill with the Lead Defend podcast with special guest Jarrett Stevens. And so you can go to leaddefend.org because Lead Defend is always around the corner.
That's right.
Thanks for being with us today.
Yep. Great to have you. Thank you, guys.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.